Just as way of introduction, this is the final week of our series looking at our values before we start Lent on Wednesday and head into a sermon series on praying through the Psalms. And as you know, for those of you who've been journeying along this series, we've been alternating between having some more traditional teaching on the values and then having an opportunity to hear testimony of a member of our congregation sharing about how they've been trying to work out that value in everyday life in conversation. This week, as our final week, I've sort of asked Bess to not really give testimony, but to ask me questions and to have a conversation with me, partly because trying to think of someone who is living out praying without ceasing seems a bit odd. It kind of is basically asking me to choose from the congregation who's the best prayer. And that's really hard to do because we have different types of prayer and it's very hard. We don't really talk about that. That's partly why we're doing a prayer survey, to kind of get a sense of what our spirituality here at St. Peter's is. But I thought it would be interesting just to have Bess as churchwarden and as someone who particularly is honest with me to ask me about prayer and to wonder and go, I've always wondered this, or, you know, this is always complicated. What do you think? Just to kind of have a conversation about prayer, and I hope it's helpful for us all. So I'm going to hand over to Bess, who's going to have a chat.
Hi, Ned.
Hi, Bess.
I don't know if these are going to be easy or tricky or what to you. So I'm just going to go for it. And if we see him sweat a bit, we'll pull it back. Is that all right? I'm going to start really easy, Ned.
Okay.
What is your favourite thing about prayer?
Oh, that's a good question. The way I pray, I find it easier to pray in really structured ways. And so when I pray, the best thing is it's an opportunity for me to rest, to think, which I like to do, and to have God involved in my thoughts. Mm. So day to day, I kind of struggle to have that relationship with God, which is, you know, chit-chatty. When I'm talking to God, I feel like I need to be talking to God, you know. So in my day-to-day, I often find myself thinking, but in an anxious way, and sort of thinking through problems and, you know, trying to solve stuff. And I don't know if any of you have seen that Sherlock, the modern Sherlock, where he's doing all of that sort of mind palace stuff. I do that, so it's all a bit stressed. But in prayer, I find myself being more productive in a really less anxious way. So I'm able to bring problems and things, and I often sit in the chapel on morning and evening prayer, praying through stuff rather than thinking through stuff. And I have those more eureka moments than if I'm just anxiously stressing about it. And so that's sort of trying to say that having God in that work is really nice. It's like a collaboration. It feels like, oh, I'm not on my own. It's not all pressured on me. And I really like that sensation of having that closeness to God, of God going, yeah, I'm king of the universe. I know the answer. So when you're ready, and here's the answer. Oh, yeah, of course. Yes, yeah. So that's my thing.
So what advice would you give to people who don't necessarily have that space on a daily basis? Like, for example, people with children or grandchildren that they're looking after.
Yeah. So you'll have noticed that I admitted that I'm not good at chit-chat prayer, which is last week I suggested to us that maybe through Lent that's a discipline that we could work on. And what I was really saying is that's a discipline I'm going to be working on, because I'm not good at just grabbing little short moments of prayer or arrow prayers. I'm not great at that. It's never really worked for me. But I've never needed to. It's never been an important part. But with children and grandchildren or jobs or busyness of any kind, I can imagine that trying to invest and learn how to do those, it will be really significant. And I know some people who've done it, who do it really well, and actually struggle to do the set times of prayer. So I would encourage them to really invest in arrow prayers, but to know that just as, you know, I can sustain myself on set times of prayer, because that's how I work, there will be seasons. And so trying to also look for those times. And children don't stop us from praying. Well, they shouldn't. Children should encourage us to pray. And if we really want to teach our children how to pray, we need to invite them in and teach them. They're not going to learn it by themselves. We all had teachers of prayer, whether we acknowledge them or not. So I would encourage people to pray with their children and invite God into meal times or playtime or stress, concern, you know, walking home from the school run, just having a conversation out loud with God, or asking the child, what do you think God might be thinking about at the moment? Or, you know, inviting them to suddenly go, actually, God can be talked to here. So that it's not, I've got to find the time when I'm on my own without my kids. Actually, to say, the kids can talk to God as well, and God wants to talk to the kids. So invite them in. At work, instead of, I don't know the kind of work you're in, but stress and strain and the fuming, or even the celebration of, you know, something going well, just training yourself, maybe having something on a computer screen, you know, a little thing of going, don't forget God's here, or whatever, to say, oh, thank you, God, for that. That was really great. Or, oh, this is really stressful. God, would you come and help me with whatever it is? Having prompts is really helpful for those arrow prayers. But don't just say, well, I'm a busy person, so I'm not going to cut out any time. It is helpful, I think, to say, I'm gonna pray now. It doesn't have to be on its own, but it might be during this meal time, whenever we're having a conversation, let's involve God in this conversation, or whatever it is. Trying to mark out those times, whenever they are and wherever situation you're in. And it might not be liturgical. If you like liturgical stuff, there are loads of resources that you can do. You can have it on the CD player. You can listen to it on iPods if you've got those, or just having a short set prayer, one of the ones that we've been handing out. Have that by your bedside at night and just say, actually, before I go to sleep, I'm going to say this prayer, and I'm going to offer up any petitions I might have or whatever before I go to sleep. And that's the set time, 5-10 minutes maybe.
Thanks. From your experience, what do you find most difficult about prayer?
Knowing what God thinks, wants, or desires. Despite being gifted and privileged to sit in his presence whenever I like, and to have my work environment, if someone rang me up and I wanted to pray, I could say to them, I'm sorry, I'm not meeting with you now, I need to pray. And no one going, that's a bit weird. Everyone goes, oh yeah, of course. Despite having unfettered access to the Lord Almighty, boy, I don't know what he thinks or what he wants. And I'll sit there and wait for however long I've got, and it never gets easier. That's really difficult. Particularly with someone who wants to know stuff. I just think, God, if you love me and you desire good things for me, I'm asking a really simple question. Can't you just give me a straight answer? And often he says, nope. that's really difficult. And particularly in difficult situations where You know, people come to me with really complicated life situations and are asking, where's God in this? And I always go, yeah, good question, where is God in this? So it's fine, I'll go and ask him, like he's going to tell me. And I sit and I go, I desperately want to know where God is in this situation. And he's right here with me, so why don't I ask him? So I ask him, and it's like he just stares at me going, wrong question, wrong question. I'm going to go, well, what's the right question? So that's really difficult.
My next question was going to be, what would you say to someone who comes to you saying, where's God in this, or how's God answering my prayer?
So the salve that I put upon that wound and that pain is the reminder that I am a human being with mixed motives, with limited capability. It's no surprise that the Bible is heavy on approaching God with humility. And often when I approach God with questions, it is in a state of, because you know, we've got an understanding, you, God and I, we've got an understanding. And actually we don't have an understanding. And even if God did tell me the answer to my question, if he had an answer, I don't think I would understand. So my solution to that pain and that difficulty is to remind myself that I am a creature, and to trust in God, to trust that I might not even be asking the right question, to be able to listen to the deeper voice of God, which says, I've got more important things to talk to you about than this. You think this is the big issue, but actually I've got, there is something that needs to be unlocked before the solution, which may well be very well thought through for me, until that comes into any sort of impact, there's work I've got to do, and you don't know that. Usually work on me as the prayer to understand it. So I think there's an important point about how we approach God with humility, with an openness to for him to change the subject, for him to focus, that if our attitude is not as the Pharisees in our gospel reading today, if it's not that, and it is like the tax collector, which just says, I am limited, I am broken, there is still work to do on me, which I don't want to do, but God may need me to do. Prayer is that workshop with God.
Okay. I've got one last question for you.
Great.
Looking back on any time, is there a prayer that you can see has been answered, but at the time you couldn't hear God, or you were frustrated, or you didn't like the answer?
Loads. Just loads.
Of course there are. I'm asking you to pick one.
Yeah. I mean, the most profound, obviously, were the prayers said at Sarah's bedside, which were garbled at best. And I tried to hone those as much as possible because of all of the theological wrestling that I was doing to try and understand why this was happening. Going, you know, I have sat and pastored and sat in a state of compassion with someone going through what I was going through, but from a priestly perspective, and have had lots of really coherent and philosophical arguments and reasons and explanations. And so I was trying to do that for me, because I would have appreciated that. But at the end of the day, still trying to deal with all of the confusion. And the prayer, there were two competing prayers. One, don't take her, don't let her go, give me a, you know, bargaining tools, give me another 5 years at least, please give me, do a miracle now, that would be really great, and do you know what, we'll tell that story, and it'll all be for your glory, of course it'll be all for your glory, come and heal her, at one side. And then finding myself of going, please just let it finish, just, I don't want her to be in pain anymore, so just do whatever, we trust you, you know, take her so that she can rise in glory, just do that. But those prayers were contradictory, so praying those things, I sort of prayed them both, sort of going, well, and I kind of got to the stage where it was, either will be fine, because I've asked for both, so it's up to God now to choose, and I trust his choice. And on the last day, at that last moment, when it was just her and me, with her parents just behind, I remember the final prayer that I prayed before she died, which was, just make it stop. Because it had been a week of just ups and downs, and we were all knackered, we hadn't slept, and then the few days after, it hadn't stopped. So I was thinking, you know, once she died, there would be peace, there would be a settledness, and there wasn't for many weeks. And I wrestled, and I still was praying that thing, and my dreams at the time, almost every night, were Sarah was still alive and we were still fighting, and there was still this sort of fighting spirit that Sarah had going through my dreams, and I didn't think that God had made it stop. In fact, it just made it worse, and I didn't trust that his decision was right. My subconscious was telling me, there's been a big mistake, we should have fought harder, we should have done these drugs, we should have done X, Y, and Z. And it's hard to say this, but God did the right thing. He did the right thing. He answered the prayer. He took us, all of the family, to a place where we were ready. The reality is, in terms of suffering, because it's a big deal with prayer, the thing I always come back to is, in the gospel accounts, all the miraculous healings, we don't hear what happens next. I don't know if any of you have seen Life of Brian, Monty Python's Life of Brian, but there's a sketch in it where this Michael Palin is playing an ex-leper, where Jesus has come along and healed him of leprosy, and now his livelihood of begging has finished, and he's a bit grumpy that he's been healed of leprosy. Arms for an ex-leper. We never get to hear the stories of what happens after the healings. But what we can guarantee is that they all died. And we forget that. We forget that God hasn't given immortality in the way that we want immortality. So when I was praying for Sarah's healing, what was I actually asking for? That she'd live forever, because I never wanted her to die. But that's just not possible, because God has chosen to defeat death through death. So at some point, we were going to have to part and be separated. She always hoped that I would get run over by a bus, but that was a separate prayer. But we were going to have to part. And so what was happening through that week, where I was contradictory prayers, was with contradictory prayers, was he was helping me to actually come to terms with what death is. And what resurrection is, and what actually is my hope in the resurrection. because it had all been words up until that point. I sort of knew how to explain resurrection. I knew how to do it intellectually. But because of the pain and the heartache and all of those things, he got me to a stage where actually I was able to utter the prayer, make it stop. And for him to go, you mean death. And for me to be able to say, yes, because I trust in the resurrection and that that is the best outcome for her. Because otherwise it would have been a transplant with all the complications of that, with her 6 months minimum without talking to people face to face, which would have been hell for her. Our life would have been absolutely miserable and we'd have had to work through that in the small hope that she may have survived a couple more years, and then we'd have had to do rejection stuff and all of that sort of complication. Sooner or later, we were going to have to deal with this that was in front of us right now. And I am grateful that he answered that prayer in the way that he did, though at the time, I was asking him in no uncertain terms, what the do you think you're doing? I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. Great. Thank you. As we close, may I pray for you, Ned?
No, I don't like prayer. Yeah, okay. Of course you can.
If you have any more questions about prayer that you'd like to put to Ned, please give them to me at the end of the service, because he'll be answering them in the 11 o'clock service and I can tell you what you said. Okay? So let's just pray for Ned. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the example of Ned with his prayer life. Lord, we know that it's not always easy to know what to ask for or to say thanks for. But I thank you that Ned seeks you and he seeks spending time with you as much as he can. I pray that you'll be with him over the coming weeks and months as he continues ministry at St. Peter's and he continues to miss Sarah. Lord, I pray that you will put your angels around him, you'll support him and protect him, and that us as a community will be able to look after him and pray prayers on his behalf when he doesn't know what to pray. Lord, we lift him to you now and we say thank you for, thank you that we can speak to you and you love to speak to us. That you are waiting for us to ask those questions. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, God.
Thank you.